contains the DNA that you leave on your abandoned coffee mug or a discarded cigarette butt. And should police be able to use DNA samples provided to those websites, you know, the ones that help you trace your family tree? The 25-year-old law controlling how DNA is used in criminal investigations in New Zealand is now out of step with scientific advances and modern thinking on human rights and needs to be tossed out and a new one drafted from scratch. That's the conclusion of the Law Commission. Commissioner Donna Buckingham says in 2009 an amendment gave police more power to take DNA samples from anyone they intended to charge with an offence that could end in jail.
In the suspect space, you must be asked first. If you don't consent, a compulsion order can be sought from a court. In the arrest and intention to charge situation, it's simply a notice that's required. And there are problems surrounding that. We think in terms particularly of consent, it's very difficult, we realise, for some of those who will be asked to truly appreciate what is being asked of them. So we are beefing up or strengthening the protections around the consent process for adults, better information in te reo and other languages that are in common use in Aotearoa New Zealand, and in ensuring that the person understands what they're being asked to do, and also providing increased ability for them to have a support person with them as they make this decision about what is a very complex decision and a lot of information.
I want to go through some very specific examples. If you leave DNA behind, because we're shedding it all the time, let's have you have a cup of coffee or a cigarette and you chuck the butt away, who owns or controls that discarded DNA at the moment? Can the police come along and just pluck that up and use it?
This is an area of the law which is incredibly unclear, and there are very different approaches taken in other jurisdictions where, for example, in the US, it's regarded as you've abandoned any interest in it. Canada takes a different view. Australia takes a different view. So it's an area in which we need to get some clarity around the law. We do agree that sometimes there's a compelling public interest in securing DNA indirectly. We would certainly prefer that it is secured directly because the regimes that control that can be more easily audited. But we do accept that there will be times that it will be required, and we think that should be rare. And we think the best way to balance the competing interests is for judges to decide either whether a sample can be obtained indirectly or, if it has already been legally obtained, whether it can be analysed. And we think that will be a safeguard to provide reassurance that police must justify the reasons for intruding on that person's expectation of privacy and going down the indirect route, in other words, seeking a sample from a source other than the person.
At the moment, and with the increase of genealogy websites where people can search their family tree and see who they're related to and connected to, you are recommending, well, some controls around that. The police at the moment haven't used it here in New Zealand, but it has been used to solve crimes overseas. I'm just wondering why you're recommending some regulation around that, because if people choose to put their genetic material into a massive pool that is accessible to others, isn't it a reasonable expectation that law enforcement will tap into that resource?
There is, and there also might be a reasonable, in terms of strict law, on being free from unreasonable search and seizure is all about the state invading your reasonable expectation of privacy. And there is a strong argument that when you provide your DNA to a commercial database or to GEDmatch, which takes the results of that commercial database, that you've surrendered any expectation of privacy. So the way we've come at it is part of our terms of reference are about future-proofing. It's about keeping an eye not only on the science, but on the different ways in which DNA might be used in the future. And yes, you're right. I'm sure many of your listeners will be familiar with the Golden State Killer investigation in the US, where a cold case was solved. And I can say solved because he has pleaded to, I think it's 13 charges of murder and a number of sexual assaults where there was no limitation period. So these have been used in other jurisdictions, the US being the most notable. While police have no formal approach to this issue at the moment, we think it's inevitable that in very rare cases, there will be an investigative need to do this. And we think those cases should be rare because this is a privacy intrusion of really very great proportions. One writer has said, when you look at the genealogical databases, the way your DNA profile or the information is generated there, which is much different from a law enforcement profile, you're a beacon that illuminates 300 people around you. So there are whakapapa implications of voluntarily providing material. We do know that the databases overseas have very strict privacy policies. So it's very much dependent on the terms and conditions of each of those databases that people choose to send saliva to for testing or upload the results of that kind of testing. What we can do in New Zealand is to say that if police want to do this, if they want to send either a sample or a profile and make a request for a match, that there has to be a court order so that a judge can balance the respective public interests here. And that would require the judge to consider whether the search, where the privacy and bodily integrity or tikanga or human rights outweighs the need for an investigation, or the nature and seriousness of the offending. And also, the police would have to persuade a judge that the stage of the investigation means there are no other alternative methods to do this. So we think it would be exercised very rarely, and it would require a judicial order authorising that search.
And there are a number of cases where you're recommending that a judge be called on to make a decision on whether access should be allowed. So it does beg the question, with the changes that you're proposing, are you not just making it harder for police to do their job, to solve crimes and keep people safe?
I think I can answer that by saying that many of the things that we're recommending judges do firstly go back to the roots of the legislation, which was very much about an oversight function performed by the judges, because these are important rights that are in stake. You know, when you think about it, a search warrant requires a registrar or a judge to sign it off. When you search someone's DNA, not only are you physically intruding into their body, but you're also, every time you run a search, you are looking at their genetic information, as one court has said. This is surveillance at a genetic level. So what we're trying to do is to say familial searching has already happened in New Zealand. This is where you use the data bank. So you're trying to compare a crime scene sample with an offender's index, not for an actual match, because there isn't one, but for a close match. Where it's possible that a genetic relative of someone on the data bank might actually be the source of the DNA left at the scene. Now, that is already done in New Zealand, and it's been ruled by a court to be lawful. Our understanding is that there've been 99 of these searches over the last 15 years in 66 cases. There is a police protocol on how this is done and when it's done. What we are doing is taking many of the elements of that protocol and simply inserting them into our proposed legislation so that a judge can decide whether it is necessary in this situation to make this kind of order authorising a search. So we're not changing particularly internal practice. What we're really doing is trying to bring it into the legislation so that users of the legislation get a true picture of how DNA is currently being used.
And that's Law Commissioner Donna Buckingham.